D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
They ain't saying that. He's not saying
Recording
that.
Live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Respect the announcer, bro. And respect the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a PG-rated song. Y'all keep trying to say he's saying things he ain't saying.
Okay. I believe it.
I love this podcast.
You need a metal version.
I was thinking that. So what we thinking is, okay, I guess I was thinking, I'm just not getting the support, is I like the song. What we're going to do is, every year when we recreate the song, you know, I didn't mention this, I actually thought about today. We're coming up on a year here pretty soon that we've been doing the podcast.
That's pretty good.
I know, right?
Wow, really?
Pretty good. Just to hang out with you two guys for a year almost all the time, that's a challenge in itself. But we take the lyrics, we just change the genre of how they present it. Like, you know, maybe
Hank Williams.
Then next year it'll be a country version, and then it'll be a pop version, and then, you know, like a John Mayer type version, and, you know, always just keeping it real, keeping it fresh. That's what we do.
Okay.
Who saw that debacle yesterday? Who saw it? I know Tomas was next to me.
I saw it.
You were streaming it, huh? You called me one time. What happened?
I lost the stream. Yeah. Boy, what a waste of time that was.
Okay. I'm going to start off with something that I feel like I just have to keep reminding myself of this. And I read some things today on the internet. And it's that.
They taught you how to read at that school you went to. In
DeVry. The DeVry Institute of Technology. That these guys, man, we weren't building to play in the playoffs this year. I know it would have been great if we could. But that's not what they were doing. They building this team for one last run next year. That's what I believe. No, you don't believe that? Look, all the
was
money.
Was this a plan? Step back?
No. But okay, so I'm just saying that puts my mind at peace. But what we saw yesterday is, I mean, that's regression.
Only a year away.
Yeah.
That's a regression, man. That's not taking something. What was it, 3 weeks ago now? 3 weeks ago, I was like, these guys are ready to make a move. And it just shows their immaturity. I mean, I know we could talk about, and we will, talk about all the individual things that created this, but at the end of the day, you can make an argument that it boils down to immaturity. We play a great game, everybody starts getting patted on the back, and I'm like, man, we playing good defense. Then all of a sudden, offense can't get out of their own way.
Yeah.
You know, the defense, while they did prevent Detroit from getting in the end zone, and there were some good things going on, at the end of the day, man, they driving the ball up and down the field all day long. We're not making any plays. We're not making stops. They're running the ball on us. It's pretty frustrating, and it's just like everything that you thought was happening. And I shouldn't say you guys. Everything I thought was happening, literally after we lost to Denver, I said to myself, this is it. I know we lost the game. I feel like we should have won the game. If, you know, that one play, the kick. After that, I went on Twitter, and I said, this is it. They're going on a run. They've done everything. The exact opposite.
Yeah.
The exact opposite. They fell apart.
Yeah. Well, you know. At least that new special teams guru kept it down only one tipped kick yesterday.
I mean,
so they're going in the right direction, I guess.
Okay, so I told you I was going to keep the frustration level down. How do you do this?
I don't know, man.
I have never in my life seen a team that can't get a field goal or an extra point off. Okay, miss it. I get it. You missed it. Got the guy's bad. Miss it. You can't get it past the line of scrimmage without somebody getting a hand on it. But, hey, at least the way it comes off of his foot explosively. He powers it through the uprights.
Yeah.
So, I mean, half the time it gets tipped, it still goes
That's
through.
That's the advantage of having a real hard kicker like
right,
that.
Yeah.
Kick
so
it through
I,
their hands.
I mean, how do you explain this? How do you explain it? Tomas, I need some explanations.
Well, according to the laws of physics.
Oh, no. There we go.
The trajectory of the ball, you see, now it's very important. This is why we hired a third coach. Because it's very important the distance between the snapper and the holder. Now, we've measured it out differently now to make sure that we have the exact metric standing for the ball. Yeah. See, because we were doing it before in the American inches and feet version.
Mm.
And they found out that that was a problem. They said, you know, we have to go to the metric. We have a soccer-style kicker, so you have to go to the metric. So they went to the Metro. Then the holder, they found out that the holder was doing a good job. If the kicker would have been left footed. But he's not. He's right. So they had to rearrange the angle of the ball so that the correct trajectory would take the ball past the line of scrimmage. But here's what happened. They didn't take into account the fact that after the Brady incident with the balls being improperly inflated, it turns out that they had made the adjustments based on a Brady ball. Now, they don't have a Brady ball.
Explain.
So therefore,
that explains
the ball does not elevate the way that it needs to. So now they brought in a special coach.
Atmospheric pressure.
That's correct. Who said, look, here's the problem. So now they're working on a problem. Now, it just so happens in the game on Sunday, a Brady ball snuck in. They snuck in a Brady ball on the kid.
Snuck it in.
And that's the one, but again.
Maybe they didn't calculate it for being below sea level in the dome. Is that what it is? Maybe,
it could possibly be. But the real thing is, as Heath pointed out, thank goodness, the explosiveness with which the ball comes off his foot. It's like a cannon shot. A howitzer. And so even if someone puts their hand on it, you know, I understand that the guy who blocked the ball had to go in and have his hand x-rayed because they weren't sure that all of his fingers remained on his hand.
Only here at the BS and Beer podcast can you get that kind of deep, technical, in-depth knowledge
and explanation. You must have put some work into
that, huh? Yeah, absolutely.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, I don't know if it was that tough, but that was some complicated explanation there.
I see you, Mr. Penguin.
You see, I want to tell you guys I appreciate you on a day like this where my frustration level's high.
Yeah.
You're putting a little humor in it and take it. So I don't know where to start with this. I guess maybe we just head on to the good and bad and ugly.
Go ahead.
We may do a special bad and ugly today.
I got a good.
Good. All right. I actually have a good thing, too, that made me happy during it. So
you're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy. Now it's time for the BS and Beer. Good, bad, and ugly.
All right, good, bad, and ugly. I think I'm gonna let Tomas. I'm gonna do mine real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
One thing that actually it brought a big smile to my face, and I know he's older. I should have looked up how old he is, but John Kuhn epitomizes what you want in a fullback and a tight end and a middle linebacker. He's just a beastly guy. He can catch the ball pretty good. He blocks hard. He gets you that gritty, you know, yard and a half or 2 yards or whatever. And yesterday he had a play, I think, was it a catch? Turned around and he hit this linebacker and the guy came off the field the next play and it just, like, that's how it should be. And which I'll just kind of segue into the polar opposite of what a fleener should be, you know. And so when I saw this and I saw the guy going to the sideline holding his arm down, hanging by his side, and he's like, I can't feel my arm. Like, that's – you got to have a little bit of that on the team. And it seems like Kuhn's the only one, and he's got to be in his early 30s, which means – the reason I'm pointing this out is that, you know, he's probably doesn't have that many – years left in him. I know he's in Green Bay for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I hope that somehow the Saints find a guy like him at some point and he becomes part of the team, because he's the type of guy that just makes you want to pull for the team. So that's my good.
I like that.
Tomas?
Well, my good is this one. I had to really think hard to find the good, but I really have a really good. Thank goodness we have Kenny Vaccaro on defense. You know, last year, he was kind of a mess, kind of, sort of. But this year, they've really found that he can play strong safety, free safety, cornerback, linebacker. You talk about versatility in an offensive line.
Absolutely.
We got versatility in the defensive backfield.
That's right.
Because let me tell you, if it weren't for him, so many times in yesterday's game, we were watching the game, and I was saying to Dave, I was like, here he is, he's playing corner. Okay, now he's playing linebacker. Now he's playing a tight end. I mean, he really understands what it is to be in a defensive backfield. He understands the defense. So my good is the play of Kenny Vaccaro yesterday in that game. Even though it was a pretty game, he still played like a man.
Well, you know, listen, I'm not going to let in my frustration. You know, sometimes you start getting silly with the criticisms and stuff. But then they nobody, very few players. There's some that you just – they have a great game. They're just that much better than everybody else. A J.J. Watt type that you got to block him with three people or else he's going to beat you every single play.
Right.
Kenny Vaccaro has stepped up his game. Now, I'm saying this within the back of my mind, still worrying about, you know, and I know we mentioned it last week and you don't think that any punishment's coming.
Anything,
but, you know, listen, people don't take those kind of things. They do something for him, and I'm worried that something could come out of it. Hopefully it doesn't. But he's going to have a big contract waiting for him. He's going to be one of the leaders of the team. And I'm glad for him because he does strike me as just what I talked about Kuhn. He's that element of toughness that every team needs.
Yep.
Because the big hit, the big tackle, the big block, the hard run is the thing that everybody on the – fuels the rest of the team.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to him being a big part of our team going forward.
Yeah.
Big building block.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Good, man.
We're still on the good?
I'm not sleeping. That's what we're doing.
No, that was a game last night.
My good is that I'm here today.
Yeah, no there way. We didn't, if we don't send, now we're happy to have you.
I did not have a heart attack while I was watching that game. I was worried about it for a little while, but I made it through, and so that's my positive from yesterday.
I wish that one of the funniest things that's the whole element of the show that's missing, you know, is how funny things are if you actually lived in our world and watching the text that come through from Heath when things aren't going well. I mean, I'm just like, he is mad. You know, and it's kind of fun. Sitting there next to him, I kind of have that dismissive attitude where I'm like, oh, here we go. All right, looks like they're going to, you know. Tomas gets a little analytical, and he's like, but Heath, I like, quit talking to him. If things aren't going well, don't try to say, man, did you see what they said about LSU yesterday? Oh, they're going to might as well throw that money out of here because I don't know why he's even, you know. But then, and then before the show, he walks in the door, and he's like, well, I don't know why they even have that. They should bother even showing up. And then as soon as we push record, he's like, yeah, well, what are we talking about right now? So I have to try to get him fired up. We were talking about health care insurance premiums before the show started just to get him mad.
Apparently I turned into Ed Ogeron, though. Bobby Boucher. Yeah. Maybe I missed some of the plays when my stream was going in and out. I can't think of anything too good to talk about, though, from yesterday. I really can't.
You know, one of the other things I want to say, because I'm looking at my notes, is I put on my notes what looks like Ingram has nine other toes, because I thought he played pretty well in the game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, listen, this is the point.
Yeah, I was concerned there for a minute.
There, everybody has their moments. You know, everybody has their moments. But all in all, you got to forget about the moments. Consistency is what wins games. You can't, like, here's one of the things that's starting to drive me crazy is I'm starting to see reoccurring posts about one a day.
Play at all yesterday.
No, I didn't see him on the field. But the point is, like, oh, hey, look, he's finally finding a spot. And it's like, look, people, he's a number four guy. He comes on the field for a handful of plays in relief duty. He catches a ball every once in a while, special teams. Mm-hmm. He's not doing anything special. He's not improving to the point where he's ever going to be a significant. To be a real player is not about the catch that you made. It's about all the opportunities that you either made or didn't make throughout the career. Now, obviously, when you're a rookie, you're going to make some mistakes.
Right.
By the time you get to your second year, you should make less mistakes and start making more positive plays. By the time you're in your third year, quit talking about improvement. Quit talking about, you know, I know what I'm saying, doesn't have, there's always exceptions, but at the end of the day, you kind of are what you are. And what we're seeing now is there's a lot of people, and this, y'all laughed at me, and this is why I keep pointing to next year, we have a lot of young guys, and one day they show up, and the next day they don't. And that's part of the problem, is that we still, in between the good and the young players, we still have too many guys on our team that don't belong in the NFL. And maybe I'm jumping ahead into the bad and the ugly. What I'm going to do is I think we finish with the good unless you have something else.
No, I'm good.
So I'm transitioning into the
transition.
Bad and ugly.
All right.
And what I'm saying is, look, We win games when we have Teron Armstead at left tackle, and then we have Pete, who, you know, we can argue, and I know me and Tomas got in a little debate yesterday about he's not a guard. Okay, maybe he's not, but he's still head and shoulders better than Calamente or Lolito. And what happened yesterday.
Which tells you something about those two.
Well, I know, and exactly. But the point is when he's in there, at least you have a solid. You know, you got Jari Evans. Now, Jari Evans, as long as you keep him in a phone booth, he still can play. You start getting him in space, and the guy can't move anymore. You know, Streif, I got nothing bad to say about Streif. He's proved me wrong. I thought he was at the end of his career.
He made some blocks yesterday down the field. So
You know, so the point is that we have too many guys like Wanaday, like Calamente. Like, they should not be in the starting lineup. When they are, you're not good enough. When you have
anybody we got
number 38.
Kick returner.
Cadet. Cadet is a nice player. It's like, you know, but look at him. All he does is what he's supposed to do. You're not going to win playoff games with guys who just do what they're supposed to do. And a lot of these guys don't even do what they're supposed to. So I'm not going to pick on Cadet too much because, you know,
actually, he was kind of a bright spot.
That's what I'm saying. He goes out, yeah. He catches the ball, he gets tackled. I think he even had a play where he ran out of bounds, and I turned to you and said, look how smart that was.
Yeah.
Instead of the guy that cuts it inside, he caught the ball, got as much yards. It was a situation where –
yeah, but he did it on one play, and then the next time he got the ball, he cut it back inside, and so they had to rush to the line.
So as we go through the lineup, this is what I'm talking about when I say next year. We have too many people still on our team that don't belong on an NFL roster. They definitely – okay.
Well, they belong on an NFL roster, but not – yeah.
I'm going to take that back. I'm going to walk that back. Maybe a guy like Cadet – is a reserve player that might be active one week, might not. But when he is participating in an important role as your third down back, you must upgrade that spot. When Calamity is your starting left guard, you must upgrade that spot or you cannot be. Pro football is the epitome of a team sport. Your offensive line is only as good as the weakest person in your offensive line. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
So that's your man.
I'm going to say yes in general, but I have some more. I guess there's uglies.
Not that ugly, yeah, but just them bad.
No, I'm just saying I guess I'll leave them for the uglies, but then that segment's going to be about 30 minutes long.
Oh, well,
so
that's the way it is.
Okay, so I'm just basically saying the bad is too many guys on the team that don't belong in that big a role if you expect to win.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you brought up team, I'm going to tell you what my bad is. So – as you and I have spoken about the Archer, Cook, we didn't think that he was that kind of guy, but apparently he is that kind of guy. So yesterday, what happened? Yesterday, they feed him the ball. Well, here's what we found out. He's not a number one receiver. Because as many times as they fed him the ball, what did he do? You know, a perfect example, and Dave pointed this out, which is exactly right. He's got a guy in front, a guy in back. But because he is height-challenged.
Small in stature. Yeah.
Then the only way Breeze can get him the ball is to drop it in between.
Or wait for that perfect window.
Exactly right. Yeah. As opposed to if you got a taller guy, a Mike Thomas, or let's say the guy who used to be on the team, the Jimmy Graham. He can have it with an upward trajectory, which that means that only one guy can catch it.
And it goes over the linebacker in front of him. Yeah. He's catching the ball, and the defensive back is – here's a great example of it. Remember the play that pretty much ended the Carolina game where Sterling Moore, Benjamin, he went up and ran basically a curl route of some sort, jumped up. The ball was thrown high enough where it just went right over the front line, meaning the linebackers in the front of that zone.
Yep.
And by the time Sterling Moore got there, he was hitting the guy in his lower thighs, in his butt because he jumped up and caught the ball. What are you going to do? You're not even tall enough to knock it down.
Right.
And I'm sorry I'm still in your point, but I'm just trying to reinforce it.
Yeah.
Actually, that was going to be in my ugly.
No. See, that's just a bad because I think that, you know, my ugly is going to be part of this, but when you have a team sport and you come out and cry like Cam Newton or the quarterback yesterday for Detroit, on every play you're going to cry about everything there's – so that's what Cook basically did. Well, buddy, you have a role on this team. If you were the number one guy, then you would make separation on every play like Antonio Brown. I don't see you playing like Antonio Brown. You know, instead what I see is that on occasion you can make a break. But really because of your speed, that is the thing that other people have to watch out for.
Right.
You know, a double move, you're flying down the field. If they're covering you, or even if they're rolling two and it didn't roll in time, boom, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, live with the fact that that is your role on this team. Your role on this team is not the number one receiver. Sorry. It was de facto last year because we didn't have anybody else.
Right.
Okay? But over the break, we see that Snead got better. We bring in Mike Thomas, who's not playing like a rookie at all.
No.
You know? And he does have height. So, to me, Cook is a number two guy. Snead's a number three. And really, Michael Thomas on this team is the number one receiver.
And he is. And actually, if you really look at it, statistically, he is too. So, he kind of snuck up on, we're like, hey, man, he's a good rookie. No, he's actually the leading receiver on the team. So, and he should be.
I'm going to take a little bit of a devil's advocate position here, though, with Cooks. And I agree, basically, with what you're saying, okay? Most people often try to compare him to Antonio Brown.
Right.
And you're right, he's not Antonio Brown, at least not yet. At this point in his career, Antonio Brown actually wasn't Antonio Brown.
No, that's true.
But okay.
That's true.
The other thing about Antonio Brown is I think Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown because of Ben Roethlisberger to a large degree. Antonio Brown is able to get deep, often late, and he's got a quarterback that can flick the ball with velocity 60 yards down the field and get him the ball. There's times when Cooks gets in that position, and Breeze is not that kind of quarterback. Breeze has to throw the ball on time, drop it over the guy in stride. He can't roll around for a little while, get out of the pocket, and then fire it
down.
And
turn sideways and flip. And that was going to be a point that I was going to make about Cooks, because what I'd like to do is make the point that this isn't an after-game overreaction about a player and all of a sudden he's no good. I think Cooks is the same player he was before. But this game pointed out that exact weakness in his very astute observation that you just made, Heath. Cooks wants the ball. Yesterday, it seemed to me the Saints, or Drew Brees, forced the ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was one play in particular where they just kind of slow motion showed the pass that he went deep, and there is Thomas with no one around him.
Yep.
And matter of fact, I think they even pointed out on the TV, the replay, that he was wide open.
He was wide open. Yeah.
And it's just – the thing about Breeze is not a slight on Breeze. At the end of the day, Breeze has his skill set, and his skill set is he will pick you apart, and as soon as you start coming up on those routes, 1, 2, 3, he's going to drop it over you or a little pump and go or whatever. Now, for Breeze to flick it, and this is why I'm just repeating what you're saying basically, for Breeze to flick it out there like Roethlisberger, they are the king. Pittsburgh is the king of drawing up a play in the dirt after it breaks down and a guy hits Roethlisberger, he drags him and falls, the guy falls off, and he turns around and just flings the ball. And Brown is out there open 20 yards past the guy.
Yeah.
Breeze doesn't have the arm strength to get him that ball like that off balance and
whatnot. We saw it yesterday. It was the play. It might have been the same play that Thomas was wide open underneath. Breeze tried to throw it late. He threw it down the field, and I think it was Slay, the safety that came across and was able to knock it down at the last second.
Right.
You know, that's a perfect example. We see the same thing with Aaron Rodgers and what was the kid from Kentucky here, the wide receiver?
The smaller guy.
18.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Half of the plays that guy's ever made since he's been in the league with Green Bay was after Aaron Rodgers ran around for 10 seconds and then casually flicked the ball, running sideways over his head 60 yards with enough velocity to hurt somebody's hands after he saw Rodgers scrambling and then broke down the field late. And, you know, so anyway, and Breeze is not a guy that can make too many of those.
Another point that I made to Tomas was, even if Cooks, if you start forcing them the ball like that on these intermediate routes, the guy is not very big. He has great hands. So this, again, is not trying to tell you that he's garbage. But how many hits can he take at 180 pounds over the middle by linebackers, safeties, when he catches those intermediate passes and turns up with the big dogs in the middle there before he ends up getting hurt? So there's also a whole point of same reason you don't take Reggie Bush, line him up in the I formation, and just smash him in the middle of the line over and over and again. He's just not built to be that guy.
Right.
So,
yeah, and I was just going to comment on what was being said about the quarterbacks. And I can't remember where it was, either during the game or somewhere I heard, which was exactly correct. When you look at the different quarterbacks, you bring up Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger doesn't care about anything except he's big, he's strong, and as long as he moves around a little bit and holds on to, he can make somebody, give somebody enough time to get open. Whereas Breeze is all about mechanics. Breeze is all about, this is why when he gets an injury,
Mechanics is, and timing.
Breeze is in trouble when he gets an injury because it's all about where I place my hip, the rotation of my shoulder, the way the – but he's all about the mechanics of delivering the ball. And so it has to be a timing play. He has to be setting in the right place. That's why if you make Breeze move, he has a problem.
Right.
You know? Now, if you don't make a move, he'll tear you apart.
Right.
But that's the difference between somebody like him and Roethlisberger and some of the bigger guys who play quarterback. But, you know, to me, even if Roethlisberger is playing quarterback, Cooks is not a number one receiver. And as you said, Antonio Brown wasn't, in his third year, wasn't Antonio Brown. Because remember, this is Cooks' third year. This is not his first or second year. This is his third year. He should be getting towards that Antonio Brown. And in my opinion, he's not.
Right.
He's a good receiver. He's an excellent receiver, just as like Dave said. This is not the slight Cook at all. I would never trade him. You know, we have to have a guy with speed on his team. I would never trade him. You know, but at the same time, to me it's bad because, okay, yesterday we fed this guy over and over, and he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's not a number one. You know, he has a certain role in this team, and that's what we have to stick to. And, you know, I don't want to put the blame on him because it's the ugly is going to be my blame factor. But, you know, to feed him constantly like we did yesterday was a big mistake.
No, and I think that might have been partially.
That's the other thing that it calls out is the coaching staff. Yeah, Sean Payton,
ugly,
play caller.
That's my ugly coming up.
Yeah, because the bottom line is they reacted to Cooks.
Yep. Yep.
Tried defeating the ball, and at times it absolutely cost us.
Yeah, I think that the what you just said, I'm just going to reiterate because it just seemed like it could have been a huge part of the problem was just we seemed out of sync, and how much of it had to do with a noticeable increase of balls being not only thrown, targeted, but forced into Cooks when it just. I don't think that's what got us to where we are. That's not the offense we run. Now, all of a sudden, here we are trying to keep a guy happy. And listen, back to not trying to beat up a guy or whatever. Man, I think he deserves, you know, the recognition and accolades. But at the end of the day, his role has served this offense very well. And if you're not happy with it, then we do have a problem. Because I don't think you can move the – you can't change the role.
Right.
I mean, last year and this game was great. Matter of fact, I just put this thought together. How many times did we talk last year about how, oh, the offense is great, is it? Let's look at how many points they scored in the first half. And Cooks was our number one receiver by default because we really didn't have
anybody else.
We didn't have a lot of other people.
Colston was done already.
And so, you know, here we are struggling and Breeze struggling. And then later on in the game, after we're down by a lot, then all of a sudden we start moving the ball. And it's like, oh, look at all the yards. Last year our ranking was deceptive. We weren't as good last year productivity-wise, as the numbers would suggest. And here we are, you might, you know, I'm not saying it is, but you might consider that part of the relationship. You start trying to force balls into a 5'10", a guy who's not even 5'10". And you start trying to force balls into him, and things just don't happen right. Things get out of sync, and then you're not successful. So we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back with our ugly, but just a little food for thought.
BS and Beer Podcast, where we realize that taking candy from a baby is the responsible thing to do.
Well, how y'all doing, Shy? It's Chef Pierre Gautreau, and I want to let you in on a little secret. That's right. This recipe's been in my family for generations, and now it's time to share it with you. Flip-flop pancake mix makes the most delicious pancakes, and it's the best thing since gumbo, yeah. You like blueberry? You like chocolate? Flip-flop pancakes has so many flavors, it's like it changes with the wind. Oh, you'll be spinning around with 180 spices and flavors. Flip-flop pancakes will have you whistling a different tune every time you eat them. So take it from me, Chef Pierre Gautreau. This gonna be the best pancake you ever eat, or I'm not crazy, yes, yeah.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
All right, we're back here at the SEC Sports Pub. Monday night, kind of slow tonight, but I don't even know who's playing. Who's playing tonight? Anybody?
I have no idea.
Bueller?
Bueller? Don't matter anymore.
Yeah, don't matter.
The Jets. And
oh, yeah, that's a big
one. Jets and I forgot.
It's a barn burner.
Yeah.
Like that, what was it yesterday? Was it the Bear 49er game?
Yeah, that was another one.
Yeah, I was chilled to
But you saw that the statistics for
for the idiot Kaepernick.
Did he? I heard he got benched.
He did.
Okay.
Because he had more yards lost in sacks than he had yards passing.
That's hilarious, man. I mean, Noah, speaking of dumb quarterbacks, my favorite player in the whole league. I want to bitch about Matthew Stafford, and I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, Gary. I don't like him. I don't remember watching it, but I've never seen a crying, whining, oh, man, oh, he hit me. Oh, yeah. I was like, this dude got a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that. I know you did, Tomas. Yes, we talked about it during the game, but, I mean, he is a crybaby. I mean, it's just every single thing is turned around and hands out to the referee like, hey, what call am I? There was one play where – he got tackled, and the guy, he ran and dove, and the guy hit him.
He
tackled him with his shoulder, and he jumps up yelling.
Because he didn't slide. He was running, and he didn't slide, and so then he got hit.
Yeah.
And then he gets up crying about it. Oh, he hit me. Well, dude, you're not in the pocket. What do you want?
Now tell me, I can't believe I missed this. I had a busy day today, so you were telling me about old Scam Newton. And I didn't realize till today he got suspended. Not suspended, but he didn't get to start the game.
Right.
Did you know? You're looking punishment. At me crazy, Heath. You didn't know this?
No, not until he started talking about it earlier.
Yeah, he
was punished.
He didn't
his
start
punishment
the game.
Was he didn't start the
now,
game.
Now, is it true? I didn't see the very beginning of the game. I didn't get home until about midway through the first quarter or so. That he, that the whoever the backup was turned the ball over.
Anderson.
So there was a turnover.
The backup quarterback, first snap from the center. He goes, he scrambles, he rolls out, throws a pass, it hit the guy in his hands, popped up, and the Seattle
wasn't
guy.
Really his fault.
No, and the Seattle guy intercepted it.
All right.
But on the first play, you know, and there was Cam, they show Cam standing on the sidelines with holding his, you know, his shoulder pads on the inside by his jersey, like, oh, okay.
And he probably smiled and said, yeah,
exactly.
Anyway, so then.
I think he went to the sidelines and used his camouflage and cleaned his teeth.
But you told me.
You have to see the interview because the whole punishment was all about, for those who didn't catch it yet, was that they have a dress code. And the dress code for the Carolina Panthers is that when they fly, they must wear coat and tie. So Camafed gets on the plane with a turtleneck. And so the coach tells him, dude, you know, we have a dress code. You have to wear coat and tie. So he tells the coach that he doesn't have a clean shirt with a collar on it, because they stayed on the West Coast from last week to this week. They didn't go back to Carolina. And so he didn't have a shirt to put a tie on. I mean, how stupid can you be? But okay.
I mean.
So then the coach said, well, your punishment, you don't get to start the game. And I was like, what? I don't get to start the game. I was like, well, there you go, buddy.
Oh, man. Uh-huh. You know what? Nah, I don't know. It's just another thing in the line of I'm still going
to
keep patting myself on the back. I said after
but
he didn't jump
to do
on
a new
that.
Commercial, you know, based on
we're going to do a new commercial. No time, I have a feeling next week they'll
no
be a
shirt
new,
with a, you know, yeah, you
do something with that. But I'm still
a whole line of turtlenecks.
I'm patting myself on the back for saying after he didn't jump on that ball last year, I don't know how anybody could play for him. And I'm talking his teammates.
And I told you that they were come way back down, that they weren't going to have the same kind of team.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Atlanta hasn't really hit that Atlanta wall that they usually hit.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
They lost yesterday, though. I tell you what, but they played good
the
ball.
But it's the way they lost. But wait, we haven't finished with the ugly.
Oh, I know. I'm just talking about I'm just shooting the bull right here, shooting the breeze. So let's get to the ugly, since Tomas is obviously excited about it.
I am.
Now y'all might want to grab yourself something to drink. You might want to go get some chips or something, because this is going to take a minute.
Well, I'm not going to teach a class on quantum physics today, but that's okay.
All right, you go ahead, though.
All right, so here's the ugly. Get ready. Because I'm really pissed off about the ugly. Hear it? I know it's a PG rated. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Who in God's name designed this plan for yesterday's game? You have, according to statistics, that
easy for you.
I was shocked. Yeah, don't talk. Okay, and that's that I haven't had a drink. Okay, so statistically, pass me a bourbon. Statistically, see if I say it enough times.
You say it enough, you practice it.
Yeah. Did you know that we had like the number 10 ranked running game in the NFL?
I wasn't directly aware of that.
No,
I cannot confirm or deny that, Senator.
And so, what do we do? Do we emphasize the run? No, we emphasize West Coast offense to cook. Who's thinking this through? You know, I mean, this makes no sense at all. And then we start off the game. What was that snap about? Can somebody explain to me what that snap was about?
That was just to show off Breeze's athleticism, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, the bottom line to me, the ugly in this game, I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it, because I really am a Saints fan, and I truly appreciate everything that's happened. But Sean Payton's coaching yesterday, and I even texted Heath. I texted Heath saying, you know that they ranted and raved about how he took over the play calling last week against the Rams to rub it in the nose
right.
of Greg Williams. And so this is what we get for play calling? You got to be kidding me. Worse than Les Miles. Worse than, if you can imagine.
Yeah.
The play calling.
Them there's fighting words, yeah. buddy.
That game plan was worse than Les Miles. There you go.
Yeah.
So that's my ugly right there.
Wow, football in Louisiana really sucks right now, doesn't it?
That is true. Like, So I think most football fans, I mean, right now there's just not a lot to look forward to when it comes to football, you know?
No.
And I tell you what, the offseason to me is long already. And, man, I'm just
You guys are just weak links in the chain. It's a good thing I'm here.
Thank God, yeah. I was thinking that myself. Thank God you're here.
Because, man, I'm looking forward to the next weekend of games.
Oh, no, listen.
Come on, man.
Listen. I'm going to be watching every game.
I'm looking forward to when we get back to doing this show when the Saints ain't playing. It was a whole lot more fun.
I tell you what. I actually made that observation. I actually enjoy the show more when I can just pontificate on, like, well, you know, on the second round, they need to get their guard, you know.
Hope abounds. The season's not ending. Then the season starts.
We got the big board up there and all kind of names on this. New people like, he's going to be the new starter.
Now, you do know that there are a couple of people who have already gone through the draft for next year for 2017.
You know what?
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't pay attention.
I saw seven-round mock the other
day. Holy moly.
I don't pay attention to the draft in the offseason, but – if you actually go in there and look, that is not a 3-month thing. That is a year-round process that we only pay attention to.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say we. I'm going to speak for you. That I only pay attention to come after the Super Bowl. Then I start looking at it. But
I actually am paying a little more attention this year simply because I figure we're going to do it.
Yeah, better get a heads up.
So
on it,
I'm like watching a lot of college games. But there's no way. You know, I look through one of the guys, and I'm looking at these names. I'm like, who is this? I don't, you know. Like you said, it's got to be a full-time gig where you're watching 100 college games every week and know players that we've never even heard of.
Yeah.
You know? But I just wanted to point out that they've got several people already complete mock drafts for 2017. So, I'm sure we'll be picking, for all you – I shouldn't say that. I'm gonna check myself and not say what I was going to say because I don't want to anger people who listen to the show.
Secondary to the crappy game plan.
Yeah, was there something even worse than that?
Well, yeah. For me, it's just the fact that you have a coaching staff full of millionaires. You have a team full of guys that are even bigger millionaires. And the biggest thing that bothered me about that game yesterday is it just didn't look like the team was ready at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they just didn't look like they showed up. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they rolled out of bed 5 minutes before the game and somebody reminded them they were supposed to be playing a game, ran out on the field. I mean, nobody looked like they were ready to play that game.
No.
And it's bad enough when you see that in college. You know, I'll put most of that on a coaching staff. You got guys that range anywhere from were just in high school months ago to, you know. But when you're a team full of professionals, highly paid professionals, and you come out that flat, in a game when it still matters, mind you, this is not like
you're right.
The
Absolutely.
Saints were far, believe it or not, from being mathematically eliminated or anything from the playoffs. They were in a must-win situation.
No,
they were in a situation where they were still playing for a wild card.
Yep.
Hell, they were even still playing for division championship.
Yep. Yep.
Taking a division, and to come out like that, I mean, and they even said it in the game that Sean Payton was concerned about the emotional letdown after the week before when they played the Rams and all. High school or college, maybe, man. A team of professionals. I mean, come on. How emotional was that week?
You saw that on the defensive line because we know that Cam Jordan gets double teamed on just about every dang play.
Yeah.
And that's the moment that we have to see Fairley show up and Davison show up and Kruger, who is.
Kruger is horrible.
You know, and
there was
that's
a play yesterday where crybaby. They had a quarterback, took off running.
Yep, there were several of them.
And you, at the very end, you see Kruger. I've never seen a guy with a more loping, slow run trying to pursue that play for the bay. He didn't even get close. I mean, he was just like.
And one of those, I turned to Dave and said, "You see what a difference? We don't have Kikaha Guachum out there in that corner. And this guy, not cutting it.
No.
But yet, he's the best guy we got out there because they're not playing your boy at a Bali. I didn't see him in the game at all yesterday.
I mean, no. I mean, I'm lost, and I get it. I know he's not the best run defender, but man, to me, he shows as much hustle, quickness.
Kruger never gets to the quarterback.
I mean, I get he don't play first, second down. I have no idea why he doesn't play on.
I know
down.
Third and 14. He should be in.
He
there.
Should be in the game. You know? Period. So, a couple of things that I found very disappointing, and I'm looking at my notes and. They all going to tie in here.
The beer wasn't cold enough.
I didn't even drink a beer yesterday, man. I had a rough weekend. We had our anniversary party.
And congratulations,
well.
No, by the way.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. Sterling Moore. Remember whenever we picked him up? And I mean, it was like, man, where'd this guy come from? I never felt that way about Webb. But between Sterling
Webb
Moore.
Webb even has had some moments.
He's had a couple of moments. But the thing about him, it's feast or famine. Right. He has some pretty good moments. Right. He breaks up. Or he gives up the play that he gave up yesterday for the touchdown. Do you remember that play?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that play was, I mean, just the most ridiculous, like, what are you thinking?
No, that's not the worst, though, touchdown play. The worst touchdown play was Stephon Anthony.
Oh, you see, now don't take my thunder from
me. Oh, okay, all right, I'll wait then.
But, no, well, okay, I'll go. So I'm just going to make the finish the point.
Go ahead,
Sterling Moore.
Yeah.
And then Webb, I mean, he's just garbage. Yes, for a guy that's garbage, he seems to make some big plays every once in a while. And I don't mean... game-changing plays. I'm just saying that, like, oh, it's third and he makes a nice play on a breakup that he should have done something. But for the most part, he's a huge failure and a liability, and I gave you a lot of crap about Crowley. Where the hell's Crowley? And so that tells you something about how I feel about it. When I'm like, can I get Crowley on the field? That tells you I'm disappointed. But, okay, listen, I get Sterling Moore, seasoned veteran. I've seen some good things, solid play. It seems recently he's slipping. But I have never seen what anybody sees in Webb to say he needs to be on the field. So, I mean, like, and Crowley, I haven't seen him on the field in weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe he has and I didn't notice, but which. No,
I haven't even seen him on special teams.
I had the same thought yesterday.
I mean, I think that he's hurt.
At one point, we were actually talking about, and Moore and Webb will be in the mix next year. You know, we don't want them as starters.
Right.
But they had their moments in there. Look, Sterling Moore. He had a chance to put us up 7-0 on what was going to be a pick six bigger than you know what.
He needs some more judge time. That's what David and I said.
No, I told him, I said, back when I was in high school, we used to run that play.
Tip drill.
Yeah. And I always thought to myself and even made comments to my friend, like, why are we wasting our time on this stupid drill? You know, we should be working on plays or tackling or doing something
that's
fun.
That's why,
And then I'm like, is it really that hard to catch a ball floating in the air? And I guess what it boils down, I told Tomas, one of the things that, and it's not new, but what they do is they take a football that's, you know, like has the four seams, and they write a number on the tip of the ball, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then when the receiver catches it, they yell out what number, so that forces them to look at the ball all the way in through their hands.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, that's the only thing, because it obviously had nothing to do with skill. Any fat guy on a couch could have got up and caught that ball, but he was more concerned about getting up the field and making a play that he ended up, you know, blowing it. But getting to my bigger point, Sterling Moore, Webb, okay, whatever. Delvin Bro.
Wow.
I mean, his play has dropped off, and at first it's like, and I get it. Okay, listen, I'm not trying to, I'm talking about facts here. I'm not trying to look for excuses. If I wanted to, I could make a million excuses. I'm a Saints fan. I know he's coming back off the injury, but again, it's a broken leg. It's not a torn ligament. It's not, it's a broken bone. It heals. It's done. I've had him. Once it's healed, you don't even know it's ever been hurt before.
Right.
But his play has been subpar. Okay. Now, he did have a couple of bad plays against him, so I'm not talking about those.
Yeah. But we've been talking about this for weeks now, right? Is Bro really good, or is Bro just the
best of the lot that
they
don't go
after
him?
Yeah, the one that – you got so many other places to go, you don't need to pick
Well,
on.
I'll say this, though. The reason I don't agree with that is because I've seen Bro make some really great
plays. I've seen Bro make some good plays,
dominant
too.
Plays. Like,
but
no,
it
don't
almost
even come by
makes
me,
you think that Detroit saw something there yesterday because they specifically went after Bro.
They did. They went after
okay,
Bro.
Okay,
and
guess
that says
what?
A lot when you got Sterling Moore on the other side.
Yeah, and I know. That's exactly. And he failed a lot yesterday.
Yeah, okay? And it's concerning. And hopefully it's just maybe a little confidence or whatever. But I see people get all upset, and it's like, oh, this negativity. At the end of the day, I'm talking about what happened. If you'd like to bury your head in the sand, you want to talk about the negatives and stuff, then, you know, you came to the wrong place. At the end of the day, these are the things that happened. They're observations. And what we do is talk Saints, and that's the thing that I want to talk about because it's what happened and it's something.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm still confident in him because I've seen consistent good play from him. Yeah. Something is – you know, there's obviously a bigger problem. It's just, I guess it's also this. Oh, man, wait till he gets back. Wait for this guy gets back. Yeah. When that guy gets back, oh, then we're going to. And then they come back, and it's like, man, back to hopeful. It feels better to hope, yeah. Man. Boy, I can't wait. That's going to be so good when that happens next year because you got hope. But then when they come back, you realize. Sorry, man.
Any offseason, Bro is a lockdown corner.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Bro
Island.
Oh, me too.
He makes Revis look like a bum.
I am a Saints fan. And it's not that I want to make excuses. But when you break a bone like that, the way that they do it now.
We can always
just listen
on
to
you,
me.
Tomas.
Just listen to me for a second here, man. The way that they do it, which was shocking to me, is like after 2 weeks, they're back on it. Like my youth, you broke a bone, you had a cast on for 6 weeks, you weren't getting on jack.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it's 2 weeks and you're back up doing whatever
with a limited amount of weight, increasingly more amount of weight. Yeah.
Now, I'm not a doctor of medicine, so I cannot, tell you with specificity. But I would say that it would seem to me that the way he's playing tentative on that leg. And so I think, one, is he in football shape again? Because how long did he sit out and not being able to hit and not being able to do all the things that you do preseason and so on? I mean, how much of that does that negate, what we're talking about? Is the injury really 100% healed? I mean, I don't know. 85? I don't know. Maybe it's in the back of his head. Hey, it's only 85. Yeah. Is it sore to a point where he's aware of the sore? I mean, there are any number of things it could be. I'm not making excuses. I'm just, again, just trying to be factual about the situation.
Well, observations. That's what we do here.
Okay.
Observations.
Then the other part is, what defense is being called? Because you're asking, well, this guy's a shutdown. Is that the defense that they're in? Because they're rolling around with three safeties back there. To me, that implies he's playing a zone man at best. He's not playing a man-on-man. And so when he's getting beat, the only one that I would say there's no excuse for, even if he lost it, was the one where he was on top of the guy, they both went off for the ball, and he just, stood there.
Yeah, that one.
It was like, what the hell happened?
He didn't put his arm up.
Yeah,
I
wonder
if he didn't see the ball, because he's there, his head's back. He's in perfect position
to catch
the
ball,
or at least knock it away.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And the ball just passed right by his face, and the guy catches it. And I'm like, and at that
kinda
point
like
in the game, I was so
frustrated.
Kind of like
Crawley in the Giants game.
Right. Exactly.
It was just like that. I mean, it was like.
And I mean, at this point in the game, I'm ready to throw my phone through the wall.
Actually, the one that gets me more than that, he got beat so bad on a double move that he almost broke that leg again, for both of them. Because, I mean, he bit on it, and that guy went right. I don't remember if it was what's his name? What's that damn receiver? Golden Tate.
No, it was the
other
guy.
No, it wasn't Golden Tate. It was the other guy. And, I mean, he just burned him bad.
Well, now, the other thing, we talk about Crawley. I have to think, I haven't looked at it. I don't remember seeing him be put on injured reserve or whatever, but it's got to be something because at this point, they signed Banjo. They signed, what's the other safety? They signed two safeties.
KO,
something like that. Well, you've got Devontae Harris and you've got Crawley. Something's got to be up that you're going to sign these two guys because Crawley and Devontae Harris at the very least can play special teams. So there's got to be something going on there that I'm not aware of. I have to do some research to see what I can find. But, bottom line, as you were saying, it's a real issue here on that defensive call. Now, there's one more guy. I'm going to wait for you to –
the guy, I'm like, I mean, we taking a lot of time on this, but Okay,
that's right. Fleener. The fans appreciate a good show.
I feel like...
Oh, you went to Fleener.
Okay. Fleener, and then you can pick up...
Wait, now, you told me I was too harsh on a man.
When?
Well, several shows back, you told me, oh, tomorrow you're too hard on Fleener.
See, you got too good of a memory. Uh-huh. I don't remember passing.
Yeah.
It might have been me. I've been a bit of an apologist for Fleener, but no more.
Here's my thing with Fleener.
No people, more.
Fleener rhymes with Wiener, but go ahead.
Fleener... People were talking about how soft he is and stuff like that. And, you know, like I was not a huge fan of Jimmy Graham's, like, lack of toughness or whatever. But then I said, listen, my excuse for Fleener is I never really looked at him as a tight end. He's just a big receiver. He's a big possession receiver. But, God, if that doesn't make it even worse.
When you can't possess the ball
yeah,
on a regular basis.
I can't catch the ball, so I'm your receiver, but I'm not good at the catching thing. Yeah. There was this old Saturday Night clip on a long, long time ago, and it obviously was supposed to be funny, and there was synchronized men swimming.
Yes.
Okay, and so one guy's, like, kind of justifying it, like, trying to make it, like,
and
well, you know, like.
Little,
yeah, and the other guy, then they show his partner. Well, his partner has floaties on him and the little nose clip thing and stuff. And they talk to the one guy, and he's like, well, you know, it's an actual event, and we're working on making it. And they turn to the other guy. I don't swim
Martin
so
Short.
Well. Yeah, it was Martin Short.
Martin Short.
I don't swim so well. Then they cut it, and they talk, and they have the guy doing the interview, and then they talk a little bit, and he's like, blah, blah, blah. And this year they expect to place in a medal contest. And they talk to the guy, and he's like, yeah. And then they talk to the other guy, and I don't swim so good. And that's all he said in the whole thing. Yeah. And that's like, that's Fleener. Yeah. I don't catch so good. You know, it's like.
And they play Eye of the Tiger.
So good either.
And they play Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I bet anybody who saw that clip got a good kick out of that. But that was funny. So I mean, I just can't go without pointing out the failures. And then the last one, Tomas already took. Stephon Anthony. Now, I didn't look at the play count. It hasn't come out, or I hadn't seen it yet. I only saw him for one play, and I saw 50, and it was after the play, but I turned to Tomas.
So
I said,
bad.
Was that Anthony on the field?
Yes.
And sure enough, Anthony's on the field and gives up the touchdown. And the
it wasn't
thing
even
about,
a hard move. The guy just sort of gave a little head fake to the inside, and he broke to the inside.
I don't want to be condescending or, you know, to people who already get this or whatever, but if you understand leverage – and in that particular defense, now I don't have what defense they're running, but it seemed pretty obvious to me. If you have inside leverage, that means you have outside help or vice versa. So he's in a position, don't give up the outside.
Right, right.
And the back just kind of gives him like a little dip to the right, which would have been the inside, and he goes to that way, and then he just steps outside and is wide open. And golly, here's another thing that hurts. As a Saints fan, as much as I'm like, I'm going to be objective, I want it to be, well, it just took him a little longer to develop. And I see that play, and I'm like, okay, I get it. If the guy breaks and he breaks with him and it's a perfect pass and he swipes his arm at the last set, but he still catches it, that happens. The best get beat. But this was a point that made me realize why our defense was so bad last year. They would look at where he's at and just say, throw it to that guy. 50% of the time, he's not even going to be close. And the other, you know, and then 25%, he'll make a play, maybe defend it. And so when you're like, God, can you remember how many times last year the touchdowns just looked so easy?
Yeah.
It was like, just threw it to a guy, and everybody's turning around looking at each other. And that's what I saw yesterday, man. And it's disappointing, so disappointing if something doesn't come out of it. Because here's a point that I read on Saints Report last night. When you look at it now, we basically traded for a center, gave away an all-pro $10 million a year tight end. We gave away a fourth-round draft pick, and then we signed Fleener to $7 million. You put that whole combination together, and I mean, that's just like mind-blowing how screwed we got in that trade. We traded Graham for Fleener and then gave him a fourth-round draft pick. And destroyed our cap for 2 years because of accelerated money on Graham's cap, on his contract. So putting that all together.
Well, we got Unger, though.
But I have something. You know, it's a possibility because of the way that.
We did get Unger. I left that out.
The way the Saints, you know, do their rosters. I would say that just like they did with Euless this year, be expecting Stephon Anthony to be given a shot at guard? We need a guard.
No, you know what? Yeah. I think that's how they transition these guys out of here. It's like, oh, we can't just cut him. Yeah. He's a first-round draft pick. This year, we're going to put him, Stephon Anthony, we're going to try him at fullback. You know, it'll be something reasonable. You know, it won't be, it'll be something reasonable. Like, no, he's fast, he's athletic.
Let's hope the defensive linemen don't know how to head fake, because if it is, he's in trouble.
Oh, you
know?
Man, that's you're a knucklehead. All right, one more thing that I think we need to talk about that's really ugly is, can somebody please get Cam Jordan a helmet that fits his big ass head?
We were talking about this yesterday.
I mean, yeah. I swear, bro, he looks like a woman's sock drawer. They just keep cramming him in there, and they pull up, and everything starts popping out, you know? And, I mean, like, his face is just, you can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know? He looks like he's going real fast, you know, like, face all scrunched back. Man. Okay, you were talking about some streaks, though.
Yeah, all kinds of streaks died yesterday, good ones and bad ones, you know. Drew Brees came into the game having six consecutive games where he exceeded 70% completion percentage. Nice. He was only two short of Joe Montana's all-time record of 8, I believe.
And that's big company right there.
Yeah, out the window. Of course, he was always working on a new consecutive touchdown streak, and that went out the window.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, you know, we talked about this before, you know, where the teams that need to get rid of bad omens and streaks go, they come to play the Saints, 22 consecutive road losses following a Thanksgiving Day game
for Detroit.
Gone. Righted that ship.
Take care.
And then, of course, their first 11 games of the season were decided by 7 points or less.
Not when you're playing the Saints.
Gone. First time all year that Detroit went into the fourth quarter having a big lead in the game all season. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, all kinds of
crapola. Way to close the show out on some good positive.
On a high note,
I guess we should have closed it on Cam Jordan's head size.
Yeah,
that might have been better. But I tell you what, we about over here. Thursday, I realized, I just told Tomas during the break, we got to catch up on our words. So you're gonna get a few, words for our pick 'em contest.
Okay.
We're gonna have to do that. And what else? Well, I don't know. Any final thoughts there, Heath?
God, let's put this one behind us and move on to the next one and hope it's better. I don't know. That's about all I can say.
Looks like it's the end of the road for this year. Are we going to be happy with 7-9?
I mean,
here's the thing. You know, Atlanta lost, so we didn't fall any further behind.
No.
But Tampa won, so we're now two games behind both Atlanta and Tampa.
See, but we control our destiny with those guys.
Right. Here's the thing. Do you really think we'll beat Tampa twice?
See, I said that, and I was like, I didn't want to interrupt you more by saying that. Well, here's the point. You haven't proven – you can't prove by losing three games in a row that, we control our destiny. You don't control nothing.
Right.
You control nothing.
Here's what we have left. We got to go on the road to play Arizona. We got to play surging Tampa twice, and we have to play Atlanta at their place.
Right, and who's probably going to really need that?
You know, right, and so in other words, you know,
realistically,
yeah.
So then my final thought brings us to: we're right where we thought we were going to be, and we let them off the hook. I mean, we're exactly what we thought we were going to be. I mean, 7-9.
Yeah,
now, it's just the way they're doing it.
Maybe.
Right now, after the way they play. But here, let me tell you something. Just like last year when we went into Pittsburgh and beat them when Pittsburgh was playing great ball, the Saints are going to come back and they're going to play. They could split these last two games. Yeah.
It's about time for us to go on a run and score by draft pick.
Yeah, go on that year-end run that means absolutely nothing. But having said that, okay.
I mean something. It means that we're going to get a late round first rounder.
I'm looking at it like this.
Well, a mid-rounder.
I've been a proponent of, why did we win that last game? And you can tell neither team wanted to win that game, the Tampa game.
Yeah, the Tampa.
But here's the thing. I believe in next year. I really do. I believe we're going to re-sign fairly. Nah, I don't believe that. I believe we should try to re-sign fairly. You got a young defensive line that I think has a lot of talent. We can get a linebacker. We can fix offensive lines. Hopefully, Termon Armstead comes back healthy. We're there. We're close. We got money to spend. We need a defensive end. We need some linebackers. Apparently, we need another cornerback.
Yeah.
But all these things are achievable because we're now out of cap hell. So I'm looking for – I don't want to lose the last four games because, listen, man, teams that win five games don't go to the playoffs next year. Teams that go 1-3 in their last four games don't go to the playoffs. It's teams that statistically, and I don't have it in front of me, So I don't even know it's the case. I read it on the internet, so it might not be true. But it sounds good, so I'm going to say it again.
Is that some of that fake news?
Right.
Yeah.
So if teams that win X amount of games at the end of the year statistically have a better chance of getting in the playoffs the next year, it just shows if you playing good football, then it rolls over because you're a good team. That's what it boils down to. You win when you're a good team.
Right.
So I'm hoping that we finish strong. And that, but I do believe the season's over. All this talk and, because, yesterday after the game, I'm like, who does that? Who watches what I just saw and is now talking about, look, we still control our destiny? No, man, you didn't lose a close game. You got the brakes beat off of you.
Yeah.
How can you have confidence that you're going into the playoffs? So, anyway, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. Y'all get ready for that Thursday Pick'em show. We're getting close to the end, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.